This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we have our next guest in the studio today, and we have Kent Wilson, who is the curator of the Castlemaine State Festival. Yeah.
The Visual Arts Program.
Sorry, yep. I knew something extra bits there. Welcome to the show, Kent.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in this afternoon.
Now, do you live in that part of the world, or are you, you know, like a Melbourneite that is just being involved in the festival?
No, I'm from, I'm in central Victoria. I live in Kyneton. There's quite a community of creative people out in Kyneton. I was living in Melbourne, moved out to Kyneton about 7 years ago now, and have settled in, and I love the area. And Kyneton and Castlemaine are very close to each other.
Right.
Both share a very vibrant and creative community.
Well, I was saying to you off air that so many people I know these days are moving out to that neck of the woods, and it's becoming very creative part of the world, isn't it?
It is. It has had a reputation for being a creative area, and that's one of the reasons why it's expanded. So there's certainly a group of people that have moved from the city in recent times with the increase in house prices and rental. It's difficult, especially creative people, if you're looking to have a studio and trying to support yourself project to project. Living in the city is not that easy. So over the course of the last few years, it's been a lot of people looking for other alternatives and moving out to that way, moving sort of at a ring that's around an hour and a half out of the city.
And it's so not far.
It's not that far, no. And there's a train line along Castlemaine. And so there's people that are commuting into the city if they require it, but certainly a lot of creative people that have moved out that way for the space.
Now, give us your backstory.
All right. I have a sort of a long and convoluted backstory, but in a nutshell, I worked previously in a corporate life in my 20s. 30, I had a very early midlife crisis and sent myself back to university at art school.
Right.
And I went back just to learn how to contribute creatively to culture. I thought if I made interesting and enjoyable art, I could contribute to the world in that way rather than necessarily profit motive driven. And I discovered while I was at art school that there was also a whole intellectual side to art that fascinated me. And I think because of my background in my 20s, I was very good at communicating and organising. So I spent a lot of time in the early part of my education organising exhibitions for artists.
Oh, okay. Because that's where a lot of creative people in the arts, they don't have that expertise side of it, do they? You know, like they're great at producing wonderful art, but they don't know the next steps to put on an exhibition.
Yeah, that's true. And I sort of, because I was a mature age student, I could see around me students in the studios making incredible work, and the messages and the ideas in that work was really, really compelling. But they had difficulty communicating what they were doing because they were communicating it through their artwork. That's what they needed to do. They didn't have to also communicate it in other forms, but I had the capacity to do that. So I started drawing together different artists and sort of communicating the ideas in their work, showing that there was a relationship between their work. And, I had that capacity to kind
Excellent.
Of draw it together.
Yeah.
So that led me into curating from there. So when I finished my studies, I did postgraduate. And when I finished, I had a fairly significant student debt at the end of it. So I was also looking for a way of supporting myself back out of education. And I got a job as a curator first at the Town Hall Gallery in Hawthorne, the city of Burundara.
Years. We talked to them a lot.
In fact, we had somebody from there last week.
So I was part of that. There was a rejuvenation of that space a few years ago. And so I was involved with that. And then I got a job at La Trobe University as a senior curator for La Trobe Art Institute, based in Bendigo, a bit closer to home. And so that's where I ended up now.
Now, all of a sudden, you got involved in the festival that's coming up. It's Castlemaine State Festival.
Correct, yes.
How long's it been going?
It's got quite a legacy. It's been going for 40 years. In the 70s, it started.
Right, okay. So, but we're only really now finding out about it in recent years, though, aren't we?
Yeah, it's sort of generated a bit more interest in the last few years. There's been a more outward-looking kind of approach, I think. They've been drawing in a lot more international artists and a more especially with the current edition, I would say too, a more fulsome representation of all the arts. And that's really driving a lot of interest. And as you say too, I think some of it has come from the fact that there's a lot of people moving to that area, yep, and more of an awareness of the creative communities from those areas. So the interest has also grown.
Yeah, and I think it's a case of like Ballarat and Bendigo are putting on a lot, you know, and their galleries are becoming very popular for Melbourne people to go up. And yeah, and I think that's probably what, you know, like Castlemaine's done, because it was a festival for them, where now it's becoming a festival for Melbourneites as well.
Yeah, and that's certainly a growing awareness in the arts industry. Bendigo particularly, there's in our industry we talk about the Bendigo effect, the consequence of the large-scale shows and the audiences that were being drawn into the Bendigo Art Gallery, and the overflow benefit that that has with the rest of the community, mm, as it brings people in for accommodation and for shopping and for food. So there's been a growing awareness that having strong cultural events in a community draws in an audience that provides them with a cultural experience, but also for that community can be beneficial for their economy.
Yeah.
So there's a growing interest in that kind of awareness. And the I think too there's been a sort of a secondary Bendigo effect. So that sort of started 10 years ago. But as a consequence of that, people like myself feel, when we were living in the city, thinking about where we should move and, you know, the decision to move out of the city into the regions became more of a possibility, more of an attractive idea, because we knew that creative cultural events and significance can happen in those areas. So the confidence to go, well, you know what, I'll take a risk and I'll move out there for a while, was a bit stronger. So there's sort of like a second wave that's happening now. Quite a lot of artists and curators moving out, knowing that they can do things in the regions.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this festival covers all forms of art, but you're here today to talk about the visual arts.
Yes, that's right. So as part of La Trobe University, we're the learning partner for the State Festival, and we were brought on board to curate specifically the visual arts program at the festival.
Okay, and where are you doing it and what are you doing?
Well, we're doing it right across town.
Right.
We're very interested in working in with the character of the town.
Because it's such a beautiful town, isn't it, architecturally?
It is a very beautiful and very interesting town.
Yep.
So we have a few venues that we've been able to organise for the presentation of artwork. There's the Castlemaine Art Museum and the market building in the city, and sort of in the middle of town, which are sort of principal key sites, and we've got groups of artists in those locations. There's a wonderful old mill, which has some interesting sites there as well, including we've got an artist who's working as an artist in residence in a brewery who will be presenting work in the tap room, and will also be working as part of her work as bar staff. And the old hospital in Castlemaine, we're able to secure most of a floor of the old hospital, and we'll have artists presenting their work throughout the building in the old hospital site.
Excellent.
There's also the Botanic Gardens, an artist will be doing a performance out there. So yes, we've tried to distribute it around town. Lot 19, which is a key iconic studio complex on the edge of Castlemaine, so we've got that as well. So yeah, we've distributed the artwork around town to enable visitors an opportunity not just to see really great art, but to experience the town and what the town has to offer.
And so you go for a walk, and there would be a map. I'm sure there's maps that you can then, you know, jump from one spot to another.
Yeah, exactly. We have a wayfinder map and locations. We're trying to organise a minibus for the weekends when we've got larger numbers in to shuttle people around from site to site. But that becomes part of the experience too, enjoying the town, stopping off, having a coffee on the way, talking about what you've just seen, hearing what other people are seeing and what they're interested in, and using that to guide your way around.
What can we see?
We've got some terrific artists. One of the things we wanted to do was have a good distribution of the local artists, because in Castlemaine there's some incredible artists. There's some artists who live in Castlemaine who are more famous overseas than they are here in Australia. So it's a really wonderful opportunity to bring them out and show them off. So we've got a really high proportion of local artists from Castlemaine.
Was it hard to find them? But because what you do as a day job probably is part of this anyway.
That's true. So it's my job to make sure that I know where these artists are. But there are some that like to keep low. Some of them are in fact out of the city because they do want to lay low. They want to just do their work and be quiet and not kind of get caught up with local politics, or, you know, just have time to themselves. So a lot of them don't necessarily make themselves known. So there were a few that we flushed out, we weren't even aware were there. But we certainly, you know, our intention is to try and keep a eye across the contemporary art scene in Australia and know who's who as best we can. So to complement that group of artists as well, we've drawn in artists from the rest of Australia. We've got artists coming in from almost every state and territory, and a couple of artists we've invited from Asia as well. I've got a Japanese artist, Teichi Nakamura, who's just come out from Tokyo. He's actually with us at the La Trobe Art Institute at the moment. We've got a residency there where he's staying and making some paintings while he's...
And what sort of style is he doing?
Well, he's quite interesting, actually. The reason I invited him out, I met him in Tokyo a couple of years ago on a research trip. When I went to his studio, I saw these fantastic paintings, landscape paintings, in a beautiful style that reminded me a lot of Sidney Nolan, Arthur Boyd. And when I asked him if he had, do you have an interest in Australian painting? He didn't speak very much English at all, but he rushed away and grabbed all the books that he had and poured them out on the table in his studio. And he was absolutely fascinated with Australian painting.
Oh, okay.
And to learn that this young Japanese artist on, you know, the other hemisphere was interested in presenting work that sort of utilised a style that we're familiar with in Australia, and it's particularly about landscape, I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah,
so we invited him out, and that's why he's here now. So we're going to send him out into the bush, send him out too with a couple of our researchers from the university who are doing ecological studies, because he's also interested in the rejuvenation of natural environments that have suffered from pesticide damage or industrialisation and how they recover themselves. So we can put him out in the field with some of our researchers who are actually doing work in the area and use that to inspire him to make new paintings with. So he'll have a suite of paintings based on that experience, which would be terrific. And a whole variety of stuff. We've got artists that work in video, artists that work in performance, sculpture, drawing, installation and sort of endurance performance as well. So a broad sweep to provide a lot of different presentations and give a clear indication of what contemporary art practice is at the moment, which is quite an array of different approaches.
And you know, like you mentioned video, because a lot of people, you know, like still, you know, like can't really get their head around the fact that it's a real art form, but it is, isn't it?
It is, and video art can range in a variety of spectrums, and it does suffer from, in the same way photography went through that same process.
Yep.
There's that feeling, I suppose, from a lot of people that because almost anyone can at least do part of the process, anyone can take a photograph or anyone can shoot a video, they think it's relatively easy. And it also does mean that there are a lot of people trying it, and also means there's potentially, well, quite often, a mixture of qualities of that, of that expression.
Yep.
But the best video artists make really incredible work. And we are inundated constantly by video imagery all the time on our phones, movies. So it's a form of expression, of human expression, that is really important to all of us. So artists that are capable of using that medium to communicate interesting ideas and in interesting ways, because they'll push the boundaries of what you can do with a camera or what sort of things you can do with an image on a screen or a projection, makes for really fascinating work.
So is there one piece that, you know, if we were going up for a day, is there one thing that you think that we have to see?
Well, I would upset 29 artists out of 30 if I
picked
one.
I knew you were going to be diplomatic here. I knew it was going to happen.
But I tell you what, the one way to think about, I suppose, a way of tackling it, if you wanted to focus, there's sort of three hubs, I suppose. There's the museum, the market hall, and the hospital. Now, that excludes a couple that are on the edges as well that are also amazing. But if you went to any one of those sites, you would see at least 4, 6, 10 artists in one hit.
Yep.
And you'd see a full spectrum as well. So you'd see a variety of different work. So each of those sites, they'll have, different sorts of medium, different sorts of ideas. But one of the sort of consistent threads too that runs through it, through all the works, is artists work generally as filters. They consume a lot of the world, they process it, and they push it out in their own form of expression. And all the artists that we have on board are very... very nuanced and very careful about what they're processing, and a lot of them are thinking about what is their identity, what is the human identity in the current condition of the world at the moment, what is the news, where do we find our place in the world. And in a regional setting, that's interesting too, people finding their identity through landscape, their environment, their community around them. So a lot of artists are working in that particular way. So if you go up with an open mind to think about how other people are thinking about their place in the world and what that might reveal to you about your place in the world, that's when you'll see some really interesting stuff.
Sounds fantastic. How can we find out more about the festival?
Yes, if you go to the website, castlemainfestival.com.au, there's some wonderful stuff. So besides the fantastic visual arts program we've put together, there's a whole lot of other wonderful things going on as well. Some of it's ticketed, so it's well worth having a look ahead of time.
Yep.
And because there's so much stuff too, it's probably worth having a look and seeing what things are on. Performance stuff generally is in the evening. Got visual arts during the day. It's a wonderful opportunity to go up, spend some time, stay overnight.
And it's helping, and I'm sure this is part of the reason for this festival, it is actually helping the economy of the area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we need to do that. Like how people flood into Melbourne. You were talking about the new Harry Potter play that official opening is next weekend. And already the hotels and restaurants and all that are full because... And that's one of the reasons the government's bought it. Likewise with this festival.
Well, yeah, and like you were saying about the Bendigo effect, basically, that sort of spreads out. So hopefully that'll be amplified a bit more with Castlemaine and there and what you're doing there as well. Too,
yeah, exactly. And it's also the region too. So there's towns around Castlemaine. Mm. You might go to Castlemaine on your way to Bendigo to see one of the large exhibitions that they've got there. Mm. It's really important that it contributes that way to the cultural and social life of the town, but also the economic life as well.
And why would you go, like when it's an arts festival on and go just up for the day, train it up and back for the day, which I have done to go to Castlemaine, but it's such a beautiful, so many beautiful buildings, isn't there? And you've got to walk around a town like that. You can't sit in a car or whatever. You've got to walk around.
You do.
And that's why it's great, as you said about the hospital and, and walking to those venues and seeing the art, it's important.
It is important. We've got two venues too that are also breweries. So there's the Shed Shaker Brewery where we've got Kay
have a drink.
Yeah, and we've got Nick Datner who runs the New Northern Art Hotel. We've got a few artists up there as well that are terrific. So you can also stop at some of the venues and refresh yourself on your way to the next one. But staying overnight's terrific too because you're in the country. Yep. One of the things that I loved when I first moved out of the city, the nighttime, the stars that you can see in the nighttime. I've seen dozens of shooting stars on late night walks. Yeah. So you get to see the sunsets. It's a different environment again. And then waking up in the morning in a country town where it's sort of a slightly peaceful, more peaceful kind of vibe and intensity.
But it's also not, Castlemaine is because of the amount of, and the sort of people that are moving there, and especially people within the arts, is that it's not a daggy little town, is it? There's some very smart, I went to this one cafe that the locals took me to, it was huge, and I think it was, I don't know what it was, but it's near the railway station.
Yeah.
And it's a huge cafe and they've played on the, as if you're in Vienna.
But Das Coffee House, yes.
And it's just really cute.
It's fantastic. Well, I think the term I've heard used a couple of times is peri-urban. So it's this mixture. You get people who are traditional country folk. They might have a farm outside of town.
Of course.
And you've got commuters who might be working in the city as stockbrokers catching the train in the morning. And then everybody in between. And there's this wonderful mixture, actually, of different people. And also we've got migrants moving out into the regions as well. So there's a becoming a really good mixture of different demographics and different life experiences.
Yep. So Castlemaine from the 22nd to 31st of March.
That's correct,
So you've got time to book some accommodation, people.
Yeah, that's good. There's a month, so you can plan, have a look, go online, have a look at what's on offer, make some selections of things you'd like to see, and then, there's time to book accommodation or make some plans with friends.
Yep. Kent, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.